Thank you, Eric. Okay, we're back in the discipleship book. Thank you for being here, and I appreciate your faithfulness, and we're getting closer to the end. We're in chapter 8, we have chapter 9, and then I think chapter 10, which is not really a chapter, it's kind of an addendum, so we'll be done soon here with this, and thank you for being faithful if you've been here throughout the time. That was pretty exciting. Your missions giving is bearing fruit. Bruce Lee got saved. I was watching Bruce Lee when I was a kid. I didn't know you could get saved after you die, but hey, he got saved. So maybe we'll have karate practice in heaven. And then a princess got saved too. That was neat. We're looking forward to a few things. We're going to, not next week, because our service next week's on Tuesday due to the singles retreat, but not next week, but the week after, we'll restart our children's missionary offering. Okay, and children strive to bring a dollar each week and put it in there, go straight to our missions program so Bruce Lee can get saved. And then we restarted teen soul winning today. We're going to restart teen choir. And so we're excited about that. And then probably sometime in October, we'll restart the children's choir where they come at 6:45 a little early, and then they come into the service about 10 or 15 minutes into the service, and then they sing every now and then. So looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to our choir getting back at it. I miss the choir. I like the special music, and I like our two specials each week, but I also want our choir singing again. And so I hope that if you have any type of musical skill or at all, or you can stand there and look pretty, like me, get in the choir. Okay, be in there. It's going to be exciting, and we got a bigger choir area. I am just really excited about what's going on in our church right now, and you know we don't talk a lot about numbers or push that, but you know, but it's not about numbers. But we do want to reach more people than less, and this Sunday is one of those Sundays as I was up here on the platform and people kept coming in, and even though we took the chairs off of the back wall and we moved them forward, we had the same amount of chairs as we normally have, and we had to pull in extra chairs, and it wasn't anniversary Sunday, and it wasn't Easter Sunday, and it was just a regular Sunday. Now, sure enough, no one's going to show up this Sunday. They all came last week, but just exciting to see God doing things and people and people being invited by you and people being reached for the Lord and being helped in their Sunday school classes, and I want to thank you for that, and I am looking forward to the fall. We're going to have a great, great time. Well, we're talking about soul winning or witnessing. And we're in the chapter 8 on speaking up. We mentioned last week that if the salvation is the greatest thing a person can receive, of course, then hell is the greatest place a person can avoid. And hell's real, by the way. I wish it wasn't, but it is. But we can think of the negatives. Well, how could you want to serve a God that created a hell? He didn't create it for you or me. We're trespassers. But he overstepped that and sent Jesus Christ so we don't have to go there. And the world needs to hear that. God's plan for reaching this world involves using Christians to personally share the good news. We started in this section about what the Bible says about soul winning. And it is why Jesus came to this earth. It is part of successfully following Christ. Salvation is something that God wants everyone to experience. We talked a little bit about the Calvinistic philosophy, which is stifling to soul winning. And then we talked about it's commanded by God for all Christians. And that's where we ended. Lord willing, we'll finish this chapter tonight. Here's the new part. I don't know what page you're on, but it's the next little thing. 74. Christ's last command, and this is not original with me, Christ's last command should be our first priority. Christ's last command. We're going to look at some verses, but before Jesus left this earth, in all of the Gospels and in the book of Acts, he gave in one form or another the command to be involved with getting the gospel to the lost. It's his last command. As he was leaving, he needed us to take his place. He needed us to pick up the mantle and take the gospel to this lost and dying world. This is an all-encompassing command. We are responsible as a church, but also as Christians. And Oscar, I don't know if you're up there, it's muffled a little bit, or maybe this just isn't crisp, if you could just help me with that. We are responsible as a church, but as individual Christians to get the gospel to the entire world. Okay? Well, you could say, my church has soul winning. My church has soul winning ministries. We have invitations. We have invitation in here and in the junior churches and our other places because we want to get the gospel out. But let me say this, that is no excuse for you not to do it on your own. That you could be here and we can win a million souls to Christ, but if you're not involved, then you're not fulfilling God's command. And we want to make sure that we do that. It's very important. The church has to see the importance of getting the gospel out. The church typically is more more concerned about certain programs than they are about getting the gospel out. And by the way, we have programs. And I look very carefully at what we do in the church and our programs and our calendar. I don't want to overburden us. And by the way, I don't want to just throw, hey, let's just have the church do this and there's no purpose to do it. If we do something, there's a purpose behind it. And if it doesn't serve a purpose, a greater spiritual purpose, we ain't doing it. Because I want our focus to be on getting the gospel to those who do not know Jesus Christ. But more than just a church, it's a responsibility of every member of the church to get the gospel out. See, that's where a church becomes dynamic. When every member of the church is concerned about the souls of the people they come in contact with. Every single person in this room, every single person who's here on Sunday, you'll come in contact with somebody or several somebodies that nobody else in this church will come in contact with. That might be your mission. You're the only one that can give them a gospel tract from our church because no one else is going to see them. And so we need to just take this thing seriously and see the importance of it. Yes, sir. This is why we support missionaries who go to the uttermost part of the world and do just that. I'm excited that Brother Sinclair got a car. I think missionaries need a car. But I'm more excited about the souls that are being saved. And he's doing the work. And by the way, our church in some small way has a part in that through our missions giving to him. By the way, it's our responsibility to get the gospel to this whole world. That's what missions is. Excuse me, we'll talk about missions next month at our missions revival, but we're trying to fulfill our part. Next little phrase there. But as individual Christians, we would be hypocritical to support missionaries and yet not share the gospel ourselves. See, this isn't some hired gun. Well, you know, Pastor, how I get the gospel out? I tithe. And because I tithe, that pays the staff salaries and the staff goes and gets people saved. Can I just tell you something? That's not just our responsibility. I have as much responsibility to get the gospel out as you do. You're saved. You know Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned, you're going to come in contact with people I'm not going to come in contact with. We all have it. And if our church just gets this dynamic, and by the way, to a degree we have it. It's great. But if a church gets behind it, to the degree that they get behind it, is to the degree that they can make an impact in their area. It's vitally important. And we do that, yes. Soul winning and missions go together. If we just give to missions and think we've fulfilled our responsibility without trying to win people in this area as well, we haven't. On the flip side, we can't just go soul winning here and not care about supporting those who are winning souls worldwide. We can't do that. We can't. Both. Here's one of the verses. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. The last thing before Jesus is going to heaven. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, and you know this a million times over, both simultaneously, Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. Let's just make it easy. From where you're standing until the rest of the world, that's where we're responsible to get the gospel out. There's places in this world we're not all going to, but we can support those who are going. And so that's our responsibility. Next. It can only be done by Christians sharing the gospel. I want us to look at this. We allude to it. The same scripture that tells us how to receive the gift of salvation also explains that nobody can receive it if nobody goes to tell them. Yep. They can't. They can't. God doesn't send angels. That's charismatics do that. You know, I was in a dream and an angel came to me and I just fell on my knees. They're not saved. Someone's got to tell you the gospel. You've heard it. Or they've heard it. That's God's ordained matter. God has a very defined way to get the message out. God's tool to get the gospel out is people. And by people, I mean every single one of us. It's us. God wants to use us. Now let's look at the verses. These are the verses on salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, a series of questions are asked in these verses right after the whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, in which the answer is obvious. Let's look at the progression. Ready? Verse 13 tells us people are saved by calling upon the name of the Lord. That's the verse I use when I witness to somebody. I tie it up in a little package, and I go through all the points. I make sure they understand, and it's like, you have to call upon the name of the Lord. You have to make that decision. Now, I go back to verse 9, where they have to believe in their heart and understand all of that, but they have to make a decision. But it goes further than that. So the first part is, people are saved by calling on the Lord. Next, people can't call on him for salvation if they don't believe. He says that in verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? So they have to call upon the name of the Lord, but they can't call upon the name of the Lord for salvation if they don't believe. Then he goes further. And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? So people can't believe if they haven't heard. You see how he's just going deeper and deeper into this thing? How are they going to call on the name of the Lord if they don't believe? And how are they going to believe if they've never heard? Next, people can't hear if there is no one to tell them. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Preacher it's not a preacher like get behind a pulpit. Preacher means someone proclaiming that message. Preacher means giving the good news. Next, we go and tell because we have been sent. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Except they be sent means this, in essence, that they have orders from a higher authority. Isn't that what we have?
Yep.
To preach the gospel? Our higher authority is God, who gave us the gospel and says, now go take it to somebody else. We are under his authority, and so we are to take it out. They not only have orders from a higher authority, it means that the authority gave them the message that needs to be delivered. We're not taking some message we're trying to craft in and of ourselves. We're taking a very defined message of what it takes for somebody who is lost and on their way to hell to trust Christ so that they can go to heaven. The message came from God, not us. And it also means we have the authority from a higher power to deliver a message. You know, God says, go do it. That means he's given us to go. Now, he does say he's with us always, but we have to go. That's our responsibility. So what does this all mean? Very common sense. You don't need to wait for a calling to go. God's already commanded you. Now, if you want that calling, that's the calling. God said, do it, go do it. Okay, that's all there is. You don't need a special gift to go. All you have to do is have a testimony of the truth of the gospel in your life. If you have that, you can share it. If you don't have that, how can you share something that you don't have? Okay? Yeah, I went soul winning when I was in Bible college. Like, we got a new worker. He was from my home church. He had started going after I left. I brought him in. The pastor said, make sure you take care of this guy. He's a new believer. I took him out. And we went soul winning, and I talked to someone at the door, and I'm like, can I share with you the truth of the gospel? Can I share with you how you can know for sure? And the guy goes, I can. And the guy's name was Reuben. I said, Reuben wants to tell you how you can know for sure. Reuben did not want to tell him. Reuben had no clue what it took to get someone saved. Well, you know, you should, you know, believe in God, and church is good. I'm like, we'll deal with you in a minute, cowboy. And I'm like, yeah, what he's trying to say. And I witnessed to the guy, and he got saved. But Reuben had to get saved himself, okay? He didn't have a message to give because he'd never experienced it. We've experienced salvation. We know what it takes to trust in Christ. We're supposed to be a witness of that. And then lastly, it just means you don't have an option to go. You're commanded to. Oh, and let me say this. You do have an option. The option is disobedience. But God wants us to go. We've been commanded to go. If you think about these verses, they're almost just as much verses about soul winning, about the command to go soul winning, as they are how to get saved. God kind of crafted them together. And so it's very important. Next, we must be aggressive in getting the gospel out. The key word God uses is go. You know what the word go means? Go. Okay, it means get up, leave where you're doing, and go do what I asked you to do. Go. By the very fact that God has told us to do it, means that we can do it. And by the way, as you seek to do it, you'll get better at it and the Lord will use you. That's why Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Okay, in other words, he'll work with you, mold you, and you'll get better proficient at it and you'll learn how to do it. And the Lord will use you to actually catch fish. If God asks us to do this, then we should aggressively do it. You see the four, as I mentioned earlier, we already saw the verse in Acts, but go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's Matthew. Mark says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Luke 14, the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel them. John 15, 16, that you should go and bring forth fruit. Go is a word of action and demands a response. If you tell your children, hey, when you get a chance, can you do this? That doesn't really demand an immediate response. But when you say, hey, go take the trash out right now, that demands an immediate response. And he's saying, go. And if we don't go, we didn't respond. And so we're supposed to go. Now, how can we be involved in soul winning? How can we? There are many practical ways that you can get started on a life of being a living witness for Jesus Christ. Following some of these steps can help you to become the soul winner God desires you to be. Yeah. And here they are. Use the testimony of your salvation. Use your testimony. Your testimony is an explanation of how, when, and where you receive Christ. You may not remember the exact day, but you remember the time. You remember when it happened, where it happened. Okay? It's very easy for me. And whenever I talk to someone, I don't witness to someone without telling them about how I got saved. I'll explain it to them and I'll say, on Easter Sunday, you're probably sick of hearing it, 19, a few years ago, I went to church. I was invited by a friend. I had already heard the truth of the gospel. The pastor preached and he was a guest speaker and he preached on, you know, I think the story where the net was on one side, they didn't catch anything. And they had to throw the net on the other side, and they caught everything. He said, some of you, when it comes to your eternal soul, your net's on the wrong side. And he said, why don't you come down here and get saved? And I looked at my friend, Pastor Joe Esposito, who was not Pastor Joe Esposito. At that time, he was Joe. And I'm like, I think I should go. Now, what he should have said is, come on, let me take you down there. He said, yeah, go. Full church, packed house, I'm on the middle aisle. Yeah, go. Like, okay, so I went. I wanted to get saved. But I explained to them. And I trusted Christ that very day. You know, we also call soul winning witnessing. A person who witnesses is a witness. You know what a witness is? Someone who testifies of something that's happened to them, something they saw, and something they know is absolutely true. When you're saved, you've experienced it, you saw it happen in your life, and you know it's true. And we share that with other people. If you are saved, then you have experienced it. God wants you to use your testimony. It will encourage people to understand that they too can receive what you have received. It will also help them to understand that they must choose to receive salvation. You see the verses there, testifying both to the Jews, but in verse 24, but none of these things moving, neither I count my life dear, so that I may finish my course, would join the ministry which I have received in the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Very rarely when I'll ask them, but do you, if they let you talk to them, do you know 100% for sure if you die, you'd go to heaven? Most of the time they look at you for a second. They don't say anything because they don't know. And I'm like, that. And if they pause, I'm like, that's a tough question, isn't it? They're like, really, it is? And I'll say, you know, someone asked me that question. And I'll use my testimony. So they understand how it is. And they're not the only one that didn't know for sure. And how the Lord brought that assurance in my life and how I received Christ as my Savior. Use your testimony. Very important. A personal testimony lets them know it's personal. It's something that you have to do on your own. It's definite. There's a time that it happens, specific time. And then it's a decision. Only they can make that decision. Next, how we can be a witness. Overcome fear and be bold. Overcome fear. We get fearful. By the way, talking to people who are strangers can be a little bit daunting. Especially when you're a new Christian, right? Because you weren't used to saying Jesus. And now here you are. You're serving the Lord. It's all new to you. And you're going to go talk to people about him. And so it can be a little fearful if we're not careful. One of the most misunderstood the fears is this. Ready? I will do more harm than good. Now how? So you go up to talk to somebody and they're on their way to hell. And then can you like mess it up so that they go to a worse hell? No. If you're sincere and you do the best you can to your ability, God will use that. They may not like it. They may get upset with you, but you shared the gospel with them. And by the way, it is the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. You leave that seed with them, I guarantee you it's going to bother them. They may not like you. They may not get saved, but that truth is going to lodge, and God's going to use that to prick at their heart. You're not doing worse because you are not the one who saves people. God is. Remember we used to go on the soul winning bus. We have too many to do that now, and it was taking too long. We go out on Tuesday, drop people off on the bus. We get back, driving back to church. We'd have testimonies. And some new convert would get up and say, I saved somebody tonight. I'm like, wow, Jesus didn't even have to get involved. Okay? It's like, look, if I save somebody, they're not saved, all right? And I know what they mean by that. What they're saying is, God used me to share the gospel, and someone trusted Christ. But we don't save them. God does. The power, look, we're not some spiritual salesmen. We're not. We're not out there trying to talk people into something they don't want. Salesmen do. Right? You've been there. I want this. Here's my budget. They'll bring something out that's more expensive. Okay? We're not spiritual salesmen. The product, and this is a bad way to put it, but understand, the product will sell itself. Yeah. Not that it sells itself, but the conviction it brings will show them that they need this. Now, we should be passionate about it. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, you don't want to trust Christ, do you? And we should try to answer their questions. But we shouldn't try to coerce them. The gospel does it. Amen. The power to save comes from the truth of the gospel. The gospel has its own power to convict individuals of their need of salvation. Yep. So they will choose to receive Jesus. It's not our words, it's God. We read that. So we overcome our fear by just understand, look, we're a witness. We do everything we can within our power to encourage people to get saved. But if they get saved, it's because God worked in their heart and they made that decision. God just needs us to go forward. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. Next, and this is for people that you come in contact with, strengthen your lot, your testimony with a life that matches it. Okay? See, some of the people that are hardest for some people to win to the Lord, are you ready, are people who know you. And if you think, yep, that's true because of me, by the way, you don't need to be perfect. But they ought to see that you love Jesus and you're trying to do the right thing. Now, I know sometimes people nitpick at you, especially at your work, right? Choir boy, you know, preacher man, whatever. But don't let that get to you. But if you have a life that matches, if you're trying to do the right thing, when I first started working at the paper company, and there was a bunch of guys there, they did not know Jesus. And I was a new guy coming in, and there was one guy, he's a pastor, Tom. He's a pastor over in Norwalk right now. And he had worked there several years, way before I got there. And I remember one time they used to let us leave early if we finished our work and we would get paid for it. So sometimes we work 6 hours and get paid for eight because we finished our work. And I remember somebody went in and broke some things in the bathroom on our shift. And I remember the boss pulled all of us in and he said, somebody needs to confess to this or I'm going to take away. We called it freeway when you leave early. And all the guys were kind of snipping at each other. And Tom, who hardly ever talks, spoke up and just said, whoever did this needs to confess. We didn't do it. You need to step up. But when he talked, everybody listened because they had a respect for him. Because he was a guy that tried to live his faith. And when he talked to them, they listened to him. And that's how we should be. We shouldn't be perfect, but they ought to say, look, this guy is trying to live for Jesus. And so what we say backs up what we're trying to get them to follow. As I've said before, the greatest advertisement for Christianity is Christians. And the worst advertisement for Christianity is Christians. It's your choice. It's your choice. If people think you have a bad product, they're going to look at your life and they don't want to buy it. Years ago, I was at the mall when I was a teenager, and I don't know what Dr. Pepper was thinking. They decided that they were going to start serving Dr. Pepper hot. And they had a little, you know, one of these things where they show the product. And we were walking by, they're like, hey, we're thinking of starting this new product, Dr. Pepper Hot. Would you like to take a drink and try it? It was garbage. I had to go get something else to drink. It was that bad. Listen, that product did not fly. One taste of it said, yep, I don't have anything to do with that. You know, that's what some people think of Christians. Yeah. I don't want to be a part of that. Yeah. And so let's be careful. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just saying. Proverbs 25:26, a righteous man. I'm sorry, let me back up. Most people judge Christianity by Christians. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and as a corrupt spring. In other words, when a righteous man lives wickedly before the wicked, a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring, it makes the source look bad, right? Hey, that water's bad because the source of that water, the fountain, the spring, it's bad. When we don't live right, we're making Jesus look bad. And by the way, there's too many people that claim to be Christians that do that. And so let it not be said of us. When people think of the members of Pacific Baptist Church, they ought to think, you know, the ones I know are pretty decent people. They're trying to do right. Next, we should be prepared at all times to share the gospel. Yep. The task of getting the gospel out is the church's job. But what that means is that it is the responsibility of all the members of the church to be involved in sharing the gospel. This is something God commands you to be prepared to do at all times. And we're going to help you with that a little bit. 1 Peter 3:5, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If someone came up to you and said, you're a Christian, what's it all about? You ought to be able to explain it to them. You ought to. You ought to be able to say, well, here's what it means to be a Christian. Here's how I became a Christian. There was a guy, he later became a Christian talk show host. His name was Frank Pastore. He used to pitch for, I believe, the Reds. And I heard his testimony many years ago, and he talked about when he was a pitcher, I believe it was on the Reds, he had some problems in his life and his family and some of the things he was doing. And he said, there was a group of Christians on the baseball team. He said, man, I avoided them like the plague. But there was a couple times he hooked up with them. But all they tried to do was get him like to go eat with them. He goes, I didn't want to go eat with them. I wanted to go drink. He goes, but a couple times I was struggling in my life, so I thought I'll go with these guys. And they were just nice guys to hang out with, and I didn't drink or cause any trouble. I think later on he got traded. And he met, through where he was traded, he met another person that was a Christian. And so he connected with them. And this person actually shared the gospel with him. And he got saved. Do you know what the first thing he did was? When he saw those other guys that he used to hang out with that were Christians, he went up to them and said, why didn't you tell me? He said, I went out with you. You were nice guys. I hung around with you, but you never told me how to be saved. Now, isn't that what we're supposed to do?
Yep.
By the way, I'm all for being nice to people, most of them. But we have to get the gospel to them. That's the vital thing. We have to be ready. Next, have some church tracts with you at all times. Have some church tracts with you at all times. Always have some of your church's gospel tracts with you. You never know when God will bring you into contact with somebody you can invite to church. Everywhere you go, you can leave a tract with somebody. Okay? Now, by the way, don't do this. Don't grab 5,000 every time you walk out the door and they're stuck in your purse or in your car. And by purse, I mean girls, and by car, I mean guys. Okay? I heard of a church one time, they said, hey, bring the tracts back day. It's like, go in your purses, ladies, guys, go in your car because they're sitting there doing no good, but have a few. By the way, we're getting a bunch of them made for the fall, and I want us to pass them out, but have them. You can leave a track everywhere you go. Next, the best way to learn is by going with others. The best way to go soul winning is with a partner. As you strive to learn how to share the gospel, you go out with your church and be paired up with someone who is seasoned to go. When I went out, told you, our assistant pastor, Brother Sisson, took me. And then after that, I just started going with the church. And I would go with guys, and I'd let them talk. And after a few times, I'm like, hey, I can do that. I want to do that. Okay? It didn't take long for me to catch on. Like, and I've told you before, the first time I witnessed, I had the plan taped in my New Testament. But I got to the point where I'm out with them, like, I'm knocking on this door. I want to talk to somebody. Okay? And I was encouraged by going with others. We can learn from them how to they share the gospel with others. This will encourage you and empower you to be able to do the same. Now, let me say this. And the second, last, this next point will go with it. Let's have a great reaching unashamedly this year. Okay? We revamped our whole soul winning training program in 2019. Whole new system. We went through the book. We have that. And so we're going to do that again. So for those of you that have never went through it, if you didn't go through it in 2019, I want you to sign up for that class. We'll have teaching. We'll show you how to do it. Then when we go out for a few minutes, you'll be paired with someone that knows how to talk. Okay? If you'd ever come out, come with us. Come with us. By the way, once you get bit with the bug, you'll enjoy it. You get out there sometimes, and you're a little bit like, these people are going to, you start talking to people, it's like, where's the next one? Where's the next one? I want to talk to the next one. But you got to go out with some. Sign up. Make sure, like Brother Pichardo, I'm sorry, we've all signed on class one, and most of us have already been there, so you're going to have to figure that out. But on the way out, let's sign up. Now, if you've been there, we're going to have a class two with a different teaching geared towards that. But let's get out here, and let's get the gospel out. Let's have a great fall. And planting seeds bears fruit. And we're showing you, we're going to show you how to do it and encourage you how to do it. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fantastic. All right, thank you for those. I love when you just do it spontaneously, and that was wonderful. Okay. Next, come to church at a soul winning time. Our church has specific times. Tuesday night, several times during the year, we go out. By the way, we're going to do the soul winning training during the Tuesday nights before the time change. Once the time change starts, it gets a little darker. It can be a problem. The last time we'll go out is on the Tuesday after Friend Day. That's after time change, but we're doing Friend Day follow-up anyhow, so that's okay. But let's get out there. Okay, and when we're not doing that, come on Saturday. Planning to do something is not as effective as following a plan. We are to share the gospel at all times and places. Very few Christians who will not go out soul winning with their church will do it when they are not with their church. I've noticed that. All right, next, understanding the plan of salvation. I'm going to go through this pretty quickly because we know this, and we'll go over it again in a different manner when we get to our reaching unashamedly training. Maps are great things. They keep us on track and help us to arrive at our destination. It's nice to have a basic plan of salvation that you use and understand so that you can share with others. Now, I'm going to say something, and if you've listened to any type of preachers, you heard it. I don't understand a preacher that will be critical of using a specific plan to share the gospel. Oh, you just use the Romans road. That's not why. So you should be disorganized? That's like saying, I'm going to be effective with my money, but I'm not going to have a budget. Now, by the way, you need to understand the gospel so fully so that if people have questions, you don't just you can get off the verses in Roman and explain it to them. I'm not saying that. But it's good to stay focused. How many times have you talked to somebody and they'll want to ask you a bunch of questions totally unrelated to salvation, right? You know, hey, my dog died. Do dogs go to heaven? Now, usually I'm like, look, I'll answer that question at the end if you want, but I can just say right now, my dogs aren't going to heaven. I hope that white one doesn't. And I don't even want her to go to purgatory. I just don't like that one. But that was probably mean. I do love her when she's not around. But it's like, look, they are, you know why they ask questions? They're getting under conviction. Now, if they ask a question about related to salvation, answer it. Yeah. Right? But having a plan helps you get the information that they needed, that they need. And so the plan we use is the plan is the Romans Road. And when people criticize that, they're not criticizing the Romans Road, they're criticizing how sometimes people use it. Of course, we will have to veer off course, as I mentioned, to answer and help others thoroughly understand the gospel. But if we don't have a basic plan, we will have trouble keeping on point. Yeah. By the way, the first person I ever went to the Lord, I did not know the Romans Road, but someone gave me a plan. It was in a track or something. I cut it out and I taped it on the inside of my New Testament. I talked to my brother-in-law's mom. And it's like, you want to, and she said, yeah, share it with me. And I'm like, okay, and I opened the front. And I said, oh, it says right here, you're a sinner. And I flipped to the verse, like, yep, you're a sinner. It says right here. And I explained it to her. And I went through all the points. And it probably wasn't the most effective, but I did share it to the best of my ability. And when I got to the end, she was crying. And I'm like, you want to trust Christ? She goes, I do. She got it. Now, that was not the most proficient way, but I used the plan I had. Let's have a plan. Let's be careful. And then here's just a brief outline of the plan of salvation. The best way to learn soul winning is to go with others in the church. We have times in the years when we do training. October. As we grow in our faith, we will regularly have a greater understanding of our salvation, which will help us to share. And I'm just going to mention these. You can read through this later because we'll go over it thoroughly. Part of the plan of salvation is all of man is under a sinful condition. We know that. By the way, let me say this. People don't get saved if they don't understand they're lost. Right. And we're weak on this sometimes. Well, you know, we're all sinners, right? Ha! No. You're a sinner. The reason you need Jesus Christ is because your sin is bad. Remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? You don't have to give everything you have to the poor to be saved. But Jesus knew that was his God, and Jesus knew he wouldn't give it up. So Jesus pointed to the one thing. And he's like, no, that's more important to me than salvation. He didn't get it. People need to know they're sinners. Now I went with a guy one time, and we're talking to a 14-year-old kid. And he was very pointed. You ever stolen? Yeah? You ever have bad thoughts in your mind about a girl? And I'm like, he's not here anymore. He was a police officer. And after we got done, I said, brother, we're witnessing. We're not interrogating. Okay? We need him to understand that he's a sinner. We don't need him to tell us his specific sins. It was like, the kid looked at him like, yeah? Okay, well, I was like, that's so embarrassed for that poor kid. But they need to understand they're sinful. If they don't understand they're sinners, they ain't getting saved. And by the way, what does God convict us of to lead us to salvation? Our sin. Yeah. Your sin's horrible. And by the way, it's taking you to hell. You need Jesus to pay for that thing. Next, our sinful condition comes with a heavy cost. Yeah. You know what that is. It's the wages of sin. There's two types of death. We understand physical death. That's the first death. Second of all, spiritual death. That's the lake of fire. You can look there. Thankfully, we have a great Savior who came. Amen. You know, once you paint the picture as being really bad, and you get them to admit, I'm a sinner, and you get them to admit because of their sin, they are on their way to hell, now they're ready for the good news. The good news is we have a great Savior. Yep. He didn't want you to go to hell, so he came and he paid for your sin. And you see the verses there. God's love provided a solution and a payment for sin. Aren't you thankful for that? Jesus, the virgin-born and sinless Savior, died on the cross in our place. He paid for our sin by his death on the cross. But next, Jesus did not remain dead. He resurrected from the dead and gained victory over death. By the way, you do know, read the verses in 1 Corinthians here. You do know the resurrection is part of the gospel. Because if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, he's just another religious leader that died. That's it. He had to raise from the dead. And you got to mention that. They have to understand that. The opportunity of attaining eternal life is provided to us as a gift. How do we receive the gift? The only way to be saved is by trusting in Christ alone. And you can read through the rest of that. Very important. The next little, we are at the very end there before conclusion. We are just responsible to make sure they hear the good news and compassionately encourage them to receive it. Our mandate for soul winning and reaching the world is commonly referred to the Great Commission. It has four parts: go, teach, baptize, teach to observe. See, one of the reasons we're going through this and we're trying to teach you this is because after someone gets saved, that's not the end. Right. We want to get them into the church and we want to get them growing in their faith. You know why? So that they go out with us, and now we have two people winning people to the Lord. And if they don't grow in their faith, they're not. When we are able to win someone to Christ, our job's not done, it's just begun. God desires for us to do what we can to help new converts grow in the faith. God wants you to do for them what somebody is doing for you as part of this discipleship. You know, for all the adults in here, when we get done with this book and later on we're having our regular discipleship where a new person comes into their Sunday school, they'll go out to service and they'll be discipled one-on-one. You ought to learn this stuff enough to where you say, you know, adult Sunday school teacher, I want to help do that. Or you get a convert and say, I'm going to take them through this. That's what it takes. We need to be grounded in our faith as we are obedient and soul winning, that we may help those who trust Christ become grounded. Now, what's this week's commitment? Of course, I will commit to learn and share my faith personally with those who don't know Christ. Here's a challenge, things we ask you to do. Hey, give out 10 tracts this week. We have some tracts out in the track rack. Grab a handful and say, I'm going to give these out this week. Just give them out. Say, I don't know how to talk to people about salvation. Don't you do? Just give it to them. Say, hey, I'd like you to visit our church. On the back, it talks about how you can go to heaven. And then come out. It says this Tuesday, but we don't have it this Tuesday. Come out for the reaching unashamedly. I'd like all of our adults to be here. That's a big thing. The biggest impact you can make in someone's life is by changing their eternity. Yep. That's it. And you change their eternity by sharing Jesus Christ with them. And by the way, isn't that what this world needs? As this world gets worse and worse, the people thinking about this world and what's going on, they get a little more confused. It's nice to say, look, this isn't our home. We're going to get out of this nut joint one day, and we're going to live in a place of perfection with our Lord. Salvation's the only way to get there. So I encourage you very, very strongly. Let's sign up for that, and let's be here and in our places. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for the way that the good news was presented to each of us and what it did in our life. But Lord, let it not die there. Lord, the gospel has been presented and has come down through the ages from the early church to today. And the reason it did that is because individual Christians presented it to others, who presented it to others, who presented it to the others, and it came to us. Don't let us break the chain. I pray you to help us, Lord, to have a desire to see people know Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.